Now, let's talk hardball. This is River City Hardball, presented by D-Bat Jacksonville. Here's your host, Andrew Gibson.
Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. This is River City Hardball, presented by D-Bat Jacksonville. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. We're a show that is focused and dedicated to baseball in Jacksonville. We focus on high school, college, and pro baseball here in the River City. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. A live couple of guys guests here in the studio welcoming in the Tocoi Creek Toros that are coming in here with us today. The head coach is Philip Weiser. They're 17-4. Earlier this year, they won 14 games in a row. Also joining us live in studio, Ben Robinson and Andy LeMaster. Ben, you're the catcher for the Toros. Andy, you're the right fielder. Head coach Philip Weiser is with us as well. Coach, thanks for jumping in. This is cool to have you guys in the studio this morning.
Yeah, we appreciate you having us, and it's been a fun ride and looking forward to today.
Coach, you and I spoke about this probably a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, about this opportunity to bring your team in here and your couple guys. Tell me why you decided on Ben and Andy.
Well, I mean, two of our seniors that have kind of been the catalyst of our team, and I mean, we're kind of a group this year that really everybody comes through. It's not really one guy, but these two guys have played a very big role for us. Ben as a catcher has just been phenomenal behind the plate, as well as obviously a very big hitter for us. But when you had a catcher that can shut down run games, it makes a big difference and a big reason why we're doing it. And then Andy's been just clutch all year at the plate. I mean, in our three hole, leading our team in average, and had, I think he's got the most doubles on the team, and just been very, very consistent at the plate for us. So felt these two guys would be good to be here.
I want to clear something up because a lot of people, they may not know a whole lot about Tocoi Creek, third-year program, and it's Tocoi, correct?
Yes, it's Tocoi. As our principal said in a meeting the first day of school, it's kind of think about your big toe, a toe, and then think of a koi fish, because a lot of people say Tocoi, but that's, the official pronunciation.
Well, that's going to stick in my head forever now, and I hope for those listening, that's what you remembered as well. Tocoi Creek. I always said Tocoi.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody else says that too, right?
I definitely said it at first before we were told.
All right, so Ben Robinson, Andy LeMaster, two of the players from Tocoi Creek. Ben, let's start with you. Tell me about your senior year. What's this been like for you this season?
I mean, it's been real fun. You know, all the boys having a blast. It's just, I don't really know. I mean, we're all kind of having fun, doing a good job, playing baseball, doing what we like to do, you know.
Why was catcher your position? What made you decide to be a catcher?
I've always kind of been a catcher, you know. It was like that one day in Little League, the other catcher didn't have a cup, so I had to step in. I had a cup, and I started playing, you know. And ever since then, I've kind of been a catcher.
Coach, I've got to be honest. When Ben rolled up here this morning, I'm like, this guy's in high school? Ben looks older for his age, I will say that.
I remember seeing him as a freshman when he was at Nice, because he's actually zoned Tocoi but was at Nice first. And I remember seeing him as a freshman, and I'm like, this kid's he's just big and physical. And on campus, the same thing. People say, is he even in high school? They kind of every so often pull out that ID just to make sure.
What have you seen this year on the field and behind the plate from Ben?
I mean, just the consistency. I mean, I kind of joked with Coach King at Creekside the other day, because one of the things that I've always known about Creekside baseball is they run. And for the last 2 years, I mean, he knows Ben, and when I see a passive Creekside on the bases, it kind of just that one example kind of shows who he is. And to have a guy behind the plate that is, he's a wall, and the arm is just, it's exceptional. He's going to Northwest Florida to play next year, one of the premier junior colleges in the state. But it's you shut down a run game and it makes a difference in a ball game, and it is a big part of the reason we're doing what we're doing.
Final moment or two here with you, Ben, and we'll get to Andy in just a moment. Tell me why Northwest Florida. Tell me about that opportunity for you.
So I had a few offers rolling into Northwest Florida. I went and visited, and they just had a outstanding facility. You know, their cages were – they have 5 indoor cages. They have, you know, a lot of room for me to grow, and I really saw that as a opportunity. I really took it.
We're visiting with two of the players and the head coach from Tocoi Creek. They're 17-4 this year, winners of 14 in a row earlier this season. Andy LeMaster is the right fielder for Tocoi Creek. Andy, I know you're a little bit nervous, but it's all right. Yeah. We're not going to bite you. Thanks for coming to the studio this morning. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. You know, it's been a fun year. Our group this year is real tight. Like last year, we had a lot of talent, but we weren't that tight, and we didn't win as many games as we should have. So this year, it really shows how becoming close can help us win.
Andy, you're crushing the ball this year. I'm just going to put it that way.
Thank you.
Tell me about your approach at the plate. What has it been like? I mean, it seems like you're seeing a beach ball out there on the, the mound?
Yeah, usually I just wait for my pitch. I get it probably once, at least once every at bat. I try not to miss it, you know, lay off all the junk, and I just hit my pitch.
Andy, you're uncommitted, but I know you've got a lot of looks. What has this process been like for you? Are you being selective on where you want to go?
Well, I haven't really got any offers, so there's not much to pick from. But, you know, I'm just trying to get looks, pick, go wherever is best for me and wherever I can help the other team the most.
Coach, tell me about the process with Andy. I know you guys are hoping to get some more looks and maybe some offers for him soon.
Yeah, I've been talking to a few schools about him. I mean, he's a very good outfielder, and actually he's a converted outfielder. He was an infielder at first. He's actually only a 2-year member of our school. He moved from Maryland,
Virginia. Mm-hmm.
We got one from Virginia, one from Maryland. I always mix them up. But he two years in our school, and last year came in as a junior. Really swung the bat well for us in the fall. And then this year it's been a consistency all year. And I've been talking to a few different JUCOs in Florida. But we transitioned him to the outfield, and I have to say that defensively he's turned into a really, really good outfielder. And one thing we pride on, and I try to really push on the kids, is the live reps and batting practice. Not many guys do it. A lot of guys like to go out there and hang out and talk with their friends. But he's a guy that has absolutely capitalized on the opportunity in practice and BP, and has become a very, very good outfielder, has a great arm. I think he's got 2 or 3 outfield assists this year on top of it, and just been a consistent player. And I've been talking to a few junior colleges already, and we're still working on it, but we'll all definitely be able to find something for him, because he's definitely good enough to play at the next level.
Tell me about him as a hitter, because those numbers I've seen this year have been really good.
Yeah, he's just been consistent. I mean, he's hard on himself, and we, like a lot of these kids are, but it's every game. I mean, every game, even if he goes 0-for-2 that third at bat, he comes up and finds a way to get a hit. It's almost like every game he's got one, and a lot of times it's in big situations. I mean, we've started 2-out rallies because he's our 3-hole, going 2 quick outs in the first, and he'll get a big double or a base hit, and then obviously find a way to score through the guys behind him. But just the consistency. I mean, he's one of the guys that you definitely want up in the game when the game is on the line.
You guys recently had a 14-game winning streak. To keep a winning streak alive like that, take me through what that 14-game streak was like for you, Coach.
I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I'll be honest. So this is my 20th year as a head high school coach, and I've been very, very blessed with some very strong teams. No disrespect to this team. It's by far – I mean, I've had much more talented teams. But as Andy mentioned before, I mean, I don't know that I've had a closer-knit group than this group. We don't have a lot of numbers. We've got 18 guys. 3 of those are hurt, so we've been really riding with 15. And it's almost like there's no pressure on them. They just show up and play baseball. And that's really the neatest part about it. We give up 2-3 runs. It's a blink of an eye. It doesn't matter. The other night we played Fernandina. We score 4 in the first. They bounce back and put up a 5, and it was like, okay, let's go. Let's go back out. We put 4 back up. And it's just been – it's kind of, like I said, just been one of those that we show up. And within that streak, we've seen arms. I mean, I will say, yes, we're a third-year school. I want to say this year we've seen 87-plus arms this year, and have been very good at being able to battle in those games and do what we did. Ran into a very, very good Logan Hartman over at Bartram to end our streak, and losing on a sack fly in the 7th, but it was a great ball game, and very proud of our guys, and it was definitely a fun ride. Unfortunately, we're starting to get hot a little bit again, and now's the time to do it with playoffs around the corner.
Coach, tell me about your background a little bit. You're from South Florida, Miami originally. You went to Flagler. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I went to Coral Gables High School in Miami. Graduated there in 1999. Wanted to go to Flagler. Played ball for my first year. Got hurt and got in the management side of things. My goal was actually to work in professional baseball. And one of my coaches called me when I came home and said, "Hey, can you come help me out?" I was at Miami Springs. Very, very talented team. Talking Yasmani Grandal was our starting catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had 7, I think that team actually had 7 Division I players on it. But long story short, so I actually get the head coaching job at 23 years old. My second year was there for 3 years. Then my alma mater came back and offered me the head coaching job there. So I was there for 10 years. And then it was just time. I love Miami. I'm born and raised. It's my home. But at some point I knew I wanted to come back to St. Augustine. Reached out to Coach Barnett, Jonathan Holt, who was an assistant coach at the time, asked if there were any jobs opening, and St. Joe and Menendez were open, and I got this job at St. Joe, and was there for 4 years. heard about Tokoi opening up. I live down the street, and I think as a coach, everybody's dream is to be able to start something from scratch. And and we have definitely implemented something over there. And like I've told our boys from day one, my ultimate goal is to become one of the powerhouses in St. John's County, and just to kind of be, hey, we're obviously recognized. To do it in 3 years, I didn't expect it. I'll be honest. Like, I thought we'd be very good this year. I didn't know if we'd be doing what we're doing. But it's to the kids. The kids have bought in. They listen to what we ask. They do what we want them to do. And again, that close-knit, like I said, I've had teams that are extremely talented, but the close-knit, I think, is bigger than anything.
We got 2 minutes left here with Philip Weiser, the head coach of Tokoi Creek, Andy LeMaster, the right fielder, and Ben Robinson also with us in studio here this morning on River City Hardball presented by DBAT Jacksonville. Final moment or two, Coach. You mentioned St. John's County. The baseball down there is ridiculous. I mean, there are so many good programs. You got, I'm going to leave off so many, but you've got Creekside, you've got you guys, you've got Bartram, St. Augustine. You've got so many good programs down there. Tell me what it's like coaching with and against some of these great schools.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, obviously, when I first moved up here, it was kind of funny because nobody knew who I was and kind of got, I don't want to say shafted, but it was definitely looked at like, oh, this guy from Miami coming up here.
Yeah.
But no, it's been great. The relationships I've made with these coaches, they're always battles. Listen, every team in our district is in St. John's County is good. The teams that are down in the past have been very solid, and it's a battle, and it really is. And to be at that level, I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting to see the growth of what's happening in our school. Can't get over how fast our school is growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on a daily basis. We just keep getting kids, and it's been a blast to be welcomed into St. John's County and battle these coaches.
What do you guys got coming up next? Tell me about your schedule. You're 17-4. What's next for Tokoi Creek?
So we've got Keystone coming up on Monday. I know they've had a really solid season. Then Tuesday we play Matanzas at home, and then Thursday we are home against Orange Park. And they're not somebody to turn an eye on. They've definitely pulled up a lot of upsets. And then playoffs are the following week. We'll be watching that rankings, that FHSA rankings come Tuesday. Got some help from Childs on Saturday. They upset Buholz or beat Buholz. Mm-hmm. So Buholz went 1-2. We went 2-0 this week. We were really about 1 point in the rating in that FHSA ranking. So hoping we can jump them to become the one, because if we get the one, we get to host the route and we'll get a first round bye in the playoffs.
Andy, are you hitting 365? Is that what I saw?
I think so, yep.
That's pretty good stuff. You realize that's pretty good, right?
I guess, yeah.
All right, good luck to you. Ben, thanks for coming in. Andy, thank you. Andy LeMaster is the right fielder for Tokoi Creek. Ben Robinson is the catcher. Philip Weiser is the head coach. Guys, this was so much fun. It flies by, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in today, guys. Best of luck to Tokoi Creek. And remember, if you guys are listening, it's Tokoi. It's think of your toe and a koi fish, right? Is that what your principal said?
That's exactly it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming in the studio. Tokoi Creek here live in studio on River City Hardball. When we come back, a fascinating conversation with Dr. Lance Snyder. He's from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the longtime team doctor of the Kansas City Royals. He was there for 20-plus years. He now works with the Marlins and now works here locally with JOI. Dr. Lance Snyder's coming up next. He's going to tell us about what's going on with the arm injuries, the elbow injuries that we're seeing in Major League Baseball and on down. How do you fix it? What's the issue? Dr. Lance Snyder's next from JOI on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Welcome back. River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. I want to thank Ben Robinson, Andy LeMaster, and Coach Philip Weiser from the Tokoi Creek Toros, 17-4, winners of 14 in a row earlier this year. Tokoi Creek, only a third-year program down in St. Augustine, and they are just absolutely rolling along. So good luck to those guys. Appreciate them coming in. Want to thank J.J. LaSelva for coming in on a Sunday and helping us out. Appreciate that, man. Right now, we've got a great conversation that I had earlier this week with Dr. Lance Snyder. He's a former team doctor of the Kansas City Royals. He works with the Miami Marlins with the Jumbo Shrimp. He does his practice at the South location these days at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Great conversation focusing today on the elbow and why we're seeing these Tommy John surgeries. We're seeing a big spike in Major League Baseball, and it goes on down to the youth level. You know, why are we seeing these Tommy Johns? What's the cause? Let's talk to Dr. Lance Snyder from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Doc, thanks so much for jumping on. What do you make of the rise in Tommy John surgeries and these elbows injuries?
The guys are getting bigger, stronger. They're throwing harder. there was a great book about the elbow written a few years ago. And at, you know, in the 70s, they'd have maybe one or two guys, Andrew, on the big league roster that could throw 100. Now every staff has multiple guys that throw over 100. So the guys have gotten bigger, stronger, and, you know, the ligaments haven't advanced that much. So I think that's the major problem.
Do you feel like the chasing of velocity is the biggest reason for the elbow injuries, the Tommy Johns that we're seeing, or is it a combination of things? What do you feel is the biggest reason why we're seeing these?
So that's a great question. I think it's a multitude of factors. I think it's we're working some of these guys too much and their bodies can't handle it. They've gotten too big and then they're chasing velocity, like you said. So, you know, we really have to, and, you know, a lot of the older guys will scoff about pitch counts and workload and all this kind of stuff, but we really need that. And some guys just can't handle it.
When you go back to guys like Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and guys who went complete games and it seems like never, they were just kind of bulletproof. Why do you feel like they were able to do it for as long as they did it and to pitch, you know, 200 innings a year and seemingly get through it? And guys these days are not able to. Is it just the velocity, maxing out at velocity? What do you think there?
So that's a great question, but I got to meet Nolan Ryan, and if you meet him, he looks like a professional linebacker. He's about 6'2", and he's about 235 pounds. Now, he may have a little table muscle on him these days, but he was an impressive figure. And I, of course, never got to meet Bob Gibson. But, I mean, those guys are special guys. You know, Nolan Ryan had torn his UCL and just had worked through it with mechanical changes. I think when I was with the Royals and with the Marlins, I've seen other factors come into play, whether they've got impingement of a nerve and their hip is off, or they've got problems with their back and they've got increased what we would call thoracic tilt. Those factors all come into play. We're learning more about hip, knee, ankle, core, all those kind of factors, which are, I think will in the end will benefit us, and you will see guys going longer. But I just did the physical exams for all of the minor league players with the Marlins, and every pitcher had Tommy John.
Wow.
Every pitcher had Tommy John. So there is an underlying problem.
Have you done Tommy John's for youth players?
Yes.
Like how young are we talking?
I think the youngest I've probably done is a 13-year-old. I really am really hesitant. I try to be very conservative, and I try to do everything I can with. We know, Andrew, that when we're young, we have no core strength, right? So we know that it's centripetal force, right? So you're a spinning top. It's a rotational, throwing the baseball is a rotational movement. And we know that if you have no core strength, that you're going to hold your glove hand way out to the wide side and your slot's going to change. So I really am hesitant to try to operate on young people knowing full well that their slot's going to change, their strength's going to change. So why would I operate on them? I encourage rest and strength training. I've got really some great people around me. Eric Hurley and Rick Wilkins and guys that have played in the majors. And I use them infinitesimally to try to rehab these kids and try to get them back so I can get them back without having to do surgery on them.
The hard thing to, and this is a coaching thing too, but it's like, how do you coach a player if you're trying to decrease velocity, not throw as hard? How do you teach or coach a player who can throw 97 to not throw 97? You know, that's kind of the catch 22.
Well, and you bring up a great point, but we have a lot of great high school coaches in the area, and they will limit a kid in his outings, not just to win a game. The problem are these institutions, and you know who they are, and they want to have these tournaments, and they want to rank these players, and these kids are playing every weekend in the summer, you know. So in my business, I have these people that come in and they help me, and they're called reps. And they distribute the supplies. And one of my reps in Kansas City had played for the White Sox. He played 2 years. His name is Matt. I said, Matt, how many games did you play in the summer as a kid? And he's like, I played 35. These kids are playing 35 in 2 and 3 weekends. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I don't think it's the coaches necessarily, but it's the organizations that have promoted the rings and trying to win these tournaments and the, you know, where are you going to be ranked and all this kind of stuff.
Overuse is that seems like something where you're going there. Overuse, not enough rest. Is that an issue that we're dealing with now?
That's exactly it. And pitch count helps, but you can see when a pitcher is out there and he's laboring through an inning. And some kids are struggling. Some kids are mowing kids down. And so I think the coaches have to be aware, especially in these club and travel teams, that, oh, my pitcher is struggling today. Something's off. I need to pull him. And I really think that's where the issue lies. Jimmy Andrews wrote an article, and he looked at like 13 factors associated with surgery. And it was more than one team. It was, you know, high pitch counts. It was high velocity, use of the radar gun, you know, and playing multiple positions. I mean, it went on and on. But it boils down to exactly what you said. It's overuse.
Somebody said it's almost like a tire, like your UCL is almost like a tire. It only has so much tread on it. And you know, when you use it so much and the just continued use of it, do you feel like that's an apt comparison there?
No, that's a great analogy. I might steal that one from you. You know, when you do the surgery, I wish that somehow you could come in and watch me do the surgery. The ligament is very weak. It's thin. And if you're throwing over 80, you could break this ligament at every throw. And so if you saw how weak the ligament was, you'd go, well, geez, maybe my kid's going to, you know, he's going to swim some, or maybe he's going to play some basketball as well as being on a travel baseball team. It's the anatomy hasn't changed that much.
The ligament being so weak, does it get stronger? Or is it what it is?
So great question. New York Yankees doctor has done a study and it's shown that it does thicken over time. It does get stronger, but in most biomechanical studies, it fails at around 30 to 40 pounds of pressure. So the force of throwing a baseball at 90 miles an hour is the equivalent of about 6 bowling balls. So that's far above 30 pounds of pressure. So just think about that for a second. And, you know, throwing the baseball it's the equivalent of a car taking off just at ramp speed. And so you're trying to slow that down with this really small, tiny ligament. And so you really need to do a lot of the different training methods to try to strengthen your body so that you don't break down in those areas.
If Tony Clark, the head of the MLBPA, or Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, came to you and said, Dr. Snyder, what can we do to solve this problem with elbow injuries in baseball?
So that's a really, really good question. I think the majors do a great job of helping their players, of having enough trainers. Our trainers with the Marlins are excellent. I don't know that you could do anything at that level. I think it's kind of set. I think you'd have to start grassroots. I think you'd have to start lower down. I don't believe that the majors are the problem.
Do you think the primary problem that we're seeing right now is velocity or overuse?
Overuse.
So you don't think velocity is the biggest reason why that we're seeing so many issues?
Well, it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. You know, the high velocity kids are the ones that get overused. So
right.
Parents have to protect the big kid who throws hard. I saw a kid from out east in Jacksonville, and the kid just can rocket the ball. And I said, we have to protect this kid because he's going to get on multiple teams. He's going to be the starter. The coach is going to want him to go 7, and I want him to go 4. I want him to rest, be relaxed. Half off days when between starts. I don't want him to go to catcher after he's done being a pitcher and be a DH at times. So there are ways to rotate your players so that you protect your players.
What would be your message to the youth of Jacksonville to protect themselves and protect their arms? What would you tell them?
I would say play multiple sports. I would say have fun. I think if you've got the talent, you're going to get drafted. You're going to get to play in college, play multiple sports, let your body do different things and try to develop neuromuscularly in different avenues. And that's going to just only benefit you in the long term. At some point, you're going to have to decide, okay, this is my sport. This is baseball. This is what I got to do. But when you're in eighth grade, I don't think you need to specialize. When you're in seventh grade, sixth grade, even freshman year, I think you should play multiple cross sports. I think you should, you know, maybe mix it up with basketball or wrestling or whatever it is, and try to develop your body in other ways.
And that is being less reliant on your arm and elbow, you know, playing different sports where you're not overtaxing it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You're also developing core strength. You're developing balance. You're developing neuromuscular control. You're developing all these things by playing multiple sports.
Great conversation with Dr. Lance Snyder from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. We had about a 45-minute conversation that I had to cut down to about 10 minutes. So thanks so much for his time. Just a wealth of knowledge about elbow injuries and what we can do. Some great advice there from Dr. Lance Snyder on what, as a parent, as a player, what you should do if you're a youth baseball player. So really check that out. The full video and audio as well is going to be posted on YouTube and SoundCloud with Dr. Lance Snyder here on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville. All right, for those listening, we've got something special in just a few moments. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, and this is what they call a voucher. So this is good for any game this season at the Jumbo Shrimp Stadium. We're giving away in just a few moments a pair of tickets, but we don't want you to call. What I want you to do, you're going to tell me, text the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures, 904-641-1010. Tell me why you want these tickets. I want to take the best answer, 641-1010. Text why you feel like you deserve this pair of tickets to the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. We're going to take the best message that I get, I'm going to pick it, and we're going to send that person and another guest on their way to see the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at their next homestand. It's good for any game this season. A pair of tickets for the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Text us right now, 641-1010. Why do you want to go? Give us the best answer. We've got more coming up next. In just a few moments, we're going to catch up with a Bartram Trail Bear. And now he's at Florida State, formerly with the University of North Florida. Alex Lodis is the shortstop of the Florida State Seminoles. He will join us next. Also, after him, a conversation with Joe Mercadante, the new head coach at UNF. Boy, what a great victory they had last night over at JU. Some conversation about Florida State and UNF baseball coming up next. This is River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Big thanks once again to Dr. Lance Snyder from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Really a very helpful conversation about elbow injuries, Tommy Johns. You know, something that we didn't get to that I just didn't have time in the show today is we really talked in depth about the internal brace procedure. This is a new breakthrough procedure that's only been around 3 or 4 years. Spencer Strider just had this procedure from the Atlanta Braves. It's not a full-blown Tommy John. They go in and they put in this high-strength suture. It's basically a stitch that's been woven thousands of times, and it's so strong you can't pull it apart. Well, now they're using this instead of a tendon from your wrist or your knee, and it's basically you've got like a bionic arm now. It's crazy, and the results have been outstanding. Dr. Snyder said he's done over 100 of these internal brace procedures, and guys are coming back in half the time. It's pretty incredible stuff. JJ, had you ever heard of the internal brace? Because I had never heard of it until this year.
No, that was the first for me.
Well, I mean, it's something, if this works, and they expect it to, for Spencer Strider, this will be the new way to go with Tommy John, because these guys are coming back in 6 months instead of a year plus, which is the normal rate for Tommy John. Although we did find out some new information this week about Spencer Strider. The reason he had to have it was because I think he had a bone fragment in his elbow, which kind of complicated things. Anyway, fascinating stuff from Dr. Lance Snyder. Thanks so much for his time. Right now, we want to tell you more about the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp tickets that were given away. 641-1010. Text us right now and tell us why you want to go to the Jumbo Shrimp. Give us the best reason. We'll take the best response that we get, and we'll send you and another person to see the Jumbo Shrimp this season. 2 tickets to go to any homestand game this year. Tell us why you want to go, 904-641-1010. Text in your response. We'll take the best one at the end of the show. Right now, we're going to bring on a conversation that I had earlier this week with Alex Lodies. He's a Bartram Trail alum. He was at North Florida, UNF, last year, had a tremendous All-American freshman season, got an opportunity to play at Florida State. He's now the shortstop of the Noles, and I had a conversation earlier this week with Alex Lodies, the shortstop at Florida State. Tell me about playing with some Jacksonville area guys. You got Max Williams, who played at Clay, Daniel Cantu's from Creekside, one of your biggest rivals from Bartram Trail, a handful of guys that are from the Jacksonville area. That's pretty cool to have those guys in a lineup like this and Florida State playing so well with them.
Yeah, it's really fun. Cantu and I actually live in the same, we're roommates here in Tallahassee, and Max and I go all the way back, like sophomore year of high school, we played travel ball together. And so it's just fun playing with guys that you've known for a while. And sometimes it's when we're sitting around, we just talk back about the old high school days. And like with Brody DeLamelor, we'll talk about my senior year, our team, and it's just fun.
How special is that, that you've got some Jacksonville guys that are on a team like this? I mean, you guys are top 10 in the country. You guys are really good. To have Jacksonville represented on this Florida State team that's top 10 in the country, that's got to be pretty neat.
It's very special because it shows that like Jacksonville has so much talent, and it's just, it's awesome. Like, I love it. Having friends on this team, it just makes everything so much better. It's a family here. Like, it's not just a team, like we're all family.
What's it like playing in that park at Florida State? I mean, you're talking about a big time program, top 10 in the country, ACC. What's that like?
It's the most insane place ever. We have the best fans with the animals in Section B. I love this place. I love the park. It's awesome.
What's it like to play for Coach Link Jarrett? He seems like a fun coach to play for. I know he's an intense guy. He's on you about everything, but that's what makes, you know, coaches like him great.
Mm-hmm. He's a great coach. It's especially for infielders, like, because he played infield himself. He knows the ins and outs of everything. Like, it's very instructional. You learn something new every day.
You were a freshman All-American last year at UNF. The transition from UNF to FSU, what's that been like for you?
It's been very different. The talent that is at this school and on this team, it's everybody is pushing each other no matter what. And 1 through 9 in the lineup, even guys that aren't playing, like, there's always someone that's capable of playing and just doing anything.
Now, Tallahassee's a little bit further from Jacksonville. Do you ever get a chance to come back home? What's your family come to see you play much? How's that working?
I have not been able to go home that much, but my parents do often come and watch the weekend games. So it's only like 2.5 hours, and it works because my brother is here, so they'll just stay with him and come watch the games. It's nice knowing that you, like, your parents can be there, and it's just like a sense of like being comfortable.
Alex Lodies from Bartram Trail. He's originally from St. Augustine. He went to Bartram Trail High School, played a year at UNF, and now he's the shortstop for the Florida State Seminoles, who are ranked 8th in the country. Alex is starting for the most part, playing at shortstop, batting in that order, which is pretty neat. Florida State has, in a typical order that they put out there almost every day, they have 3 guys who came from the Jacksonville area playing high school baseball. You got Alex Lodies playing at shortstop. He went to Bartram Trail. Daniel Cantu, who hit 2 homers last night, he's from Creekside. He's in that order as well. And then usually Max Williams, the center fielder leading off for Florida State, played at Clay, played at Clay High School. So you got 3 of the starting 9 in the Florida State lineup that are in the top 10 in the country that played high school baseball in the Jacksonville area. So that's pretty neat stuff. It just tells you how great the high school baseball in the town is around here in Jacksonville. So thanks to Alex Lodies for a couple minutes of his time. He's very excited, and he should be. Link Jarrett's really got the Noles rolling along pretty well right now. And speaking of guys that are rolling on pretty well, how about the UNF Ospreys last night? They played a back-and-forth game with the JU Dolphins. 9-8 was the victory last night for UNF. Coach Joe Mercadante is the head coach, and he joins us right now. Man, I'll tell you what, the game last night was incredible. Tell me, this is your first taste. This is your first experience of being in this rivalry, the River City Rumble. What's it been like?
Yeah, obviously, anytime you're in a rivalry series, there's a little bit more intensity, a little bit more energy, a little bit more excitement on the line. And these are always the best series to be a part of. And obviously, you know, coming into the program, being around the university, you know, this has a lot of significance, a lot of importance to it. And for our guys, you know, it's going to be an opportunity for them to go out there and compete against some former teammates, some guys they played against in high school, some buddies. But this weekend is going to be, you know, one toe-to-toe against your opponent that you really want to get after. So I'm excited to see our guys compete.
Coach, this is a special series here in Jacksonville, the River City Rumble, JU and UNF. What does it mean for you to be a part of this rivalry now as the head coach?
It's a really just a great opportunity. You know, obviously I've respected both these programs and competed against these programs for years at my previous institutions. And you know, once you step in it and you see the city and you see how as you go out on a weekend, you see different colored shirts, different logos, guys kind of representing which one they favor the most. It certainly gives you a little bit more excitement just to know that you get to go out there as the head coach and be a part of a big rivalry weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
When you look at both UNF and JU's rosters, there's guys from the Jacksonville area all over each roster. This is a recruiting battle for you guys on the diamond here this weekend.
It is. It really is. And, you know, that's the fun part about it. You know, we've got a guy in our rotation that was at JU a couple, you know, even up to last year. So there's certainly going to be a little bit of bad blood and some guys that are looking to kind of put their stamp out there and make a difference. But I think it's going to also be a really cool thing for some of our guys that got former teammates and still close friends on the other side. But obviously when you're between the white lines, you're enemies and you want to go out there and make sure you finish the job against your opponent.
What have you learned about your UNF team so far this year?
You know, when we have the energy, when we play with confidence, this is a group that can compete with anybody, and they've shown glimpses of having that resilience that they need to have. You know, we've had some tough luck, just like every team. You know, we're not the only ones that have had some injuries when guys were getting hot, and some guys that have kind of had to shuffle out of the lineup. But this group shows me that they're going to fight, they're going to play hard for us, and that's all you can ask for. You know, we need to obviously do some things when it comes to the game a little bit better, but this is a group that will play till the very last out, and that's all you can ask for as a coach.
What's your first year as you personally, the head coach, been like? I mean, personally, what have things been like for you?
You know, it's been a great learning experience. I think, obviously, as an assistant, you always try to put yourself in the head coach's shoes. How would I handle this? How would I handle that? And now I get the opportunity to do that. So a big thing for me is just trying to keep a close pulse on the entire team and the entire roster. You know, obviously, with my history, it's been more on the offensive side, hitting coach, you know, and positionally focused. But this year, even more so, having to think about keeping pulse on pitching staff and also the clubhouse. And so just really trying to make sure I kind of get that, you know, 10,000-foot view of the entire locker room, the entire clubhouse, get the pulse of where everybody is, and trying to, you know, push the right buttons when it turns into getting guys kind of pointed in the back in the right direction. But, you know, my assistants have been outstanding. I lean on them a whole lot. But certainly a learning experience for me. And I feel good about how we've coached this group, how we've pushed this group, and how we've been there to support them. And most importantly, just kind of cheer them on, because at the end of the day, when they're out there doing it, you got to be their number one supporter. It's on them to execute when they're on the field.
You know, just looking at numbers, if maybe people haven't been out and seen some games, guys like Tripp McKinley, Jacob Runnels, Cherokee Nichols, Tony Rocha, those are just a handful of names that have really performed well. From your vantage point, who has really shone brightly this year for UNF?
Yeah, you know, I think you hit Tripp on the head. You know, here's a guy that had 20-some-odd bats last year at another conference school and has come in and solidified himself as our top offensive threat in our lineup. And we certainly had some openings with some of the guys that left in the portal last year. So he stepped in and has been really big for us. He's kind of been that constant on the infield for us, because we've had a little bit of a revolving door for some different spots. But he's brought a lot of just consistency to the lineup. Javen Bates has been outstanding for us. You know, has caught for us, played some left field, DH'd a little bit. But he's right up there with Tripp in terms of when he steps to the box, you know you're going to get a quality at bat. Bryce Fisher has been really good. The numbers don't do it justice in terms of what he's brought to us on the weekend. You know, and I'm excited now that we've kind of got him into that weekend rotation. He's done a really nice job as well. And, you know, you got a couple freshmen that are making pushes that, you know, Zane Starling's been really good at times. Brett Dennis, another local product, been really good at times. And those guys at this point, they're not freshmen anymore. They're starting to mature a little bit, and we're certainly going to need them down the stretch.
What do you feel like you guys are doing well right now, and where can you improve?
You know, we'll start with the improve. We just got to handle the baseball better. You know, we are giving a lot of unearned runs away. We're extending innings. We're putting a lot of pressure on our pitchers. And ultimately, it's just the routine plays that are getting the best of us. So I think for a lot of our guys, it's a little bit of a mental thing. The more it happens, the more they're worried about it. We've got to go out there and just free it up and play free and easy. We know how to do it. We prepare just as well as anybody that we're going to face. So they're going to have the reps. They're going to know what to do. It's now just kind of letting loose and getting back to that, you know, sandlot style. Just have fun. You know how to do things the right way. You can't put pressure on yourself and just execute. And some of the things that we've done well, we've really found ways to manufacture runs offensively. When we go well, we really pressure the other team, which I like to do. And we've really gotten the most out of what we got on the pitching staff. You know, we've been able to get out of some tight spots. We've been able to sequence our pitches well, pitch back to some guys that maybe don't have the big fastballs. And so we've done some of those things really well. But I think for us, as we get down this home stretch, it's still just that pursuit of trying to play a complete game, playing really good in all three facets. And if we do that, we're gonna win more games than not.
Joe Mercadante is the head coach of the UNF Ospreys. The series finale against the JU Dolphins coming up in just about an hour. 1 o'clock first pitch over there at John Sessions Stadium, a road game across town for UNF against JU. Third and final game of the series coming up. First pitch at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Coach, appreciate a few minutes as always. Best of luck going forward.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
The conversation with Joe Mercadante brought to you by our friend Russ Voris, State Farm agent in Orange Park and Marsh Landing. Check out Russ. He's a great State Farm agent, does so much support for the local baseball community, UNF, high school baseball. Check out our friend Russ Voris, State Farm agent, a proud supporter of UNF baseball and local baseball here in the Jacksonville area. And it's a rubber match today. UNF-JU played a heck of a game last night. UNF took it last night 9-8. JU run ruled him in the first game on Friday 10-0 in 8 innings, so the rubber match of the River City Rumble in baseball coming up this afternoon over at John Sessions Stadium, first pitch at 1 o'clock. We're going to take a final timeout when we come back, wrap things up on the other side, and when we come back, we will give away the Jumbo Shrimp tickets. That's next on River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville.
River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville on 1010XL.
Final moments of River City Hardball on this Sunday morning, almost turning into afternoon. Thanks to J.J. LaSelva for helping us out today. Before we get out of here, I want to thank our guests in studio today, Ben Robinson and Andy LeMaster, and head coach Philip Weiser from Tocoi Creek, Dr. Lance Snyder from JOI, Alex Lodis, the shortstop at Florida State, Joe Mercadante, the head coach of UNF. We've received so many submissions for why you want to go to a Jumbo Shrimp game. Here's the one I'm going to select. This person said that he wanted to go to a Jumbo Shrimp game with his mom because they lost their dad in July. His mom is coming to visit in a few weeks. They'd like to take her out to have a fun time at the ballpark because she deserves it after a tough year. That comes from the 729 here in Jacksonville. I'll be in touch with you. You are going to the Jumbo Shrimp game with your mom, so congratulations. We'll be in touch with you later this week. I want to thank everybody that joined us today. I'm Andrew Gibson saying so long. This has been River City Hardball, presented by DBAT Jacksonville. Have a great Sunday, everybody.